Chapter 25, The Characteristics of King Puranjan, text number 15. Petri Hornipa Puryadev. Sorry. Petri Hornipa Puryadva. Rastram dakshina panchana
Rastram dakshina panchana
Yati shruta dharamita
Yati shruta dharamita
Pitri hunipa puryadva
Pitri hunipa puryadva
Dakshinena purunjana
Dakshinena purunjana
Rastram dakshina panchana Yati Shruta Dhanvita
Yati Shruta Dhanvita
Petri Hunipa Puryadva
Petri Hunipa Puryadva
Yakshinena Puranjana
Yakshinena Puranjana
Rastram Dakshina Panchala
Rastram Dakshina Panchala
Yati Shruta Dhanvita Pitriho, of the name Pitriho, Nripa, O King, Purya, of the city, Dva, gate, Dakshinena, on the southern side, Puranjana, King Puranjana. Rastam, country, Dakshina, southern, Panchala, of the name Panchala. Yati, used to go, Shrutadaranvita, along with his friend Shrutadar. Translation. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitrihu, and through that gate, King Puranjan used to visit a city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Shrutadar. Purport. The right ear is used for karma kanda, or fruit of activities, as long as one is attached to the enjoyment of material treasures. He hears from the right ear and uses the five senses to elevate himself to the higher planetary systems like Pitriloka. Consequently, the right ear is here described as the Pitru gate. Om Gyanati Manandrasya Gyanandana Salakya Shakshurun Minitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namah Sri Chaitanya Mano Vistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupam Kadamayam Dadati Swaparantikam Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasudi Gaura Bhakta Vinna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So in this allegorical narration of King Puranjan we find a detailed description of how the living being is captured in the material body and how things function in that situation. And here we're seeing the ear being described as one of the gates of the body, and then in the purport, Srila Prabhupada gives us an explanation, and without that explanation we would be totally lost. And we would never figure it out. The southern gate of the city was known as Pitrihu, and through that gate King Karani used to visit a city named Dakshina Panchala, accompanied by his friend Srutadhar. And then it goes in the purport, the right ear is used for karma kandya, or fruitive activities. And we would not have, by no means, we would have managed that. So this really shows how Srila Prabhupada's purports unlock the Srimad Bhagavatam, and how really without these purports, so many things might just fly right over our head, and we'd never really know what was going on. Therefore, it's not surprising that Srila Prabhupada emphasized that his purports are more important than the verses, because the purports are unlocking the verses. Then the right ear is used for karma kanda, or fruitive activities. Of the two ears, the right ear is particularly there for material vibrations, and the left ear is for spiritual vibrations. Now, when we speak Gayatri, we speak it in the right ear. And why is that so? If the when Gayatri is given, it's spoken into the right ear. And why not in the left ear, since that's for spiritual things? How about that? The reason is because we are on the material plane. We're on the material plane, and we're receiving Gayatri through the material ear, so the spiritual sound vibration can enter into our consciousness, because we're not ready to be on the spiritual platform and to hear purely there. And that's why Gayatri was given by Srila Prabhupada and his followers through the right ear. As long as one is attached to the enjoyment of material resources, he hears from the right ear. So Giriraj Das Brahmachari said to Prabhupada, sometimes we are in Maya. And Prabhupada said, what do you mean, sometimes? You are always in Maya. So this is important to remember, that somehow or other, although we are situated in the process of devotional service, nonetheless, we are still in Maya. The verse in the fourth canto, in the chapters dealing with Dhruva Maharaj, Akam Sarvakama Vamoksha Kamu Daradi Tivrena Bhakti Yogena Yeyeti Purusham Puram, is explaining whether you have material desires or you don't have material desires, one should always keep himself fixed with great focus in the process of devotional service, pure devotional service. But when we are akama, when we have no material desires, then we are on the transcendental platform. But if we are practicing devotional service and we do have material desires, we are sakama, that means we're still in Maya. Because then we think that the material world is a place of enjoyment. And that, of course, is only possible under the influence of the illusory energy. Otherwise, the Gita has defined the material energy as dukkhalayam asasvatam, as a place which is temporary and a place of suffering. Because, mathematically think about it, if suffering is just suffering. Enjoyment
plus temporary is also suffering. Because when it disappears, it's more painful. You're enjoying, you develop a lot of attachment, and then, bang, it's taken away. So it's very painful. Even if you live a life and everything goes really smooth, at the end, everything is taken away. Say, yeah, maybe, but at least I had a good life. That's the materialist point of view. Hanging on, yeah, but it's all taken away, and then you suffer. That's why old age is a suffering condition, because one loses his power, right? And it's painful. Memory starts to disappear. All these things are issues that we are facing. So, what to do? Situation is like this in the material world. Therefore, the activities of karma kanda are foolish activities, because they are activities which are aimed to simply improve temporary conditions. And we have to stop that. And making that our focus a little bit is there, obviously. A little bit, but we can see that the Western culture is the culture when the conditions are not right, do something. The Indian culture traditionally was tolerate. It's only temporary, so just tolerate, somehow or other tolerate. That is in the culture, because now that's changing more and more. Now, also, same thing, making so many adjustments. But that leads to materialism. Because the material conditions, what can be done? It will never be perfect, no matter what we do. That's a given. We need to make this change, we need to make that change. But the truth is, it will never be perfect. If we think we're going to get perfection in the material world, then we're living in a dream. We want it to be perfect, and we're dreaming that we want it to be perfect, and it's not going to happen. Sorry. It's a little hard, and I know that you don't believe me. I know. You're sitting through this lecture sort of like in the usual state of consciousness, passive and unengaged, and the river of sound is coming from the mouth of the speaker, and the mind is just slowly going into the semi-sleep state. And then I said that it just doesn't work in the material world. And you say, sure, and keep on trying. Keep on trying very much. This is, Maya is deeply, deeply penetrated in our consciousness. And it is interesting how we can simultaneously not believe in sense gratification and simultaneously still believe in sense gratification. Like one could say, the whole world is busy with sense enjoyment, and then devotees are busy with transcendental activity. So we were tired of all this emptiness of the sense enjoyment, came to spiritual life, etc. And then we have spiritual life, Tila, Kuntimala, chanting 16 rounds, and then in the Hare Krishna movement and around it, looking for sense gratification. Still, we are doing so. That is the nature of the illusory energy. So therefore, when Srila Prabhupada said, we are always under the influence of Maya, we can understand that. But it is
It is the potency of the Maha Mantra that will carry us. In the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, we follow the journey of Gopu Kumar, who goes to higher and higher destinations. First, higher material destinations, and finally, higher spiritual destination, and then the ultimate destination, Goloka Vrindavan. And now, it is stated there that Gopu Kumar is traveling to these higher and higher destinations. Your phone is a bright light in your pocket like the sun. Anyway, it goes to higher destinations. And it says he's doing so on the strength of his mantra, of chanting his mantra. So this is an interesting point, and it raises a question. And the question is, does the result of our spiritual life depend on our consciousness? So it's ultimately whatever we do, we're doing that to raise our consciousness. So that, as the Bhagavad Gita verse says, yam yam bhavi smaram bhavam, chalti antakaleveram, that at the end of life we can remember the Supreme Personality of Godhead, antanarayana smriti. So is that our objective? Or is it that consciousness is, although important, at the same time is secondary, because the mercy that is attracted by devotional service is carrying us? Or option number three, is it the mercy of devotional service that is carrying us, that is altering the consciousness, and is ultimately, at the end of life, the consciousness, the deciding factor? So, you got the questions. Now I want answers.
All of the above.
No, it's multiple choice. You have to tick one box. So, you cannot tick all the boxes. In small letters at the bottom says, tick only one box.
Take the message.
Okay. Durva goes for the mercy. You go for the mercy as well.
So what we're saying is that we have to table boat of Srila Prabhupada.
And the boat of Srila Prabhupada. Yeah. So mercy. You're all on the mercy side. I can't see that. Well, it's a combination of the two. Right? It's a combination of the two. But it is a fact that at the end, we're not only being judged on the state of our consciousness. There is, along with that, also the mercy that we have attracted by the service we do. And that's very important. See, in the beginning, in Krishna coming, we think it's all Krishna consciousness, it's all about consciousness, and if there's like a slight anatta, a slight trace, you are fallen, you are contaminated, you are less. But then you also have to see, yes, but this person did so much service, just for all that service, he might go back to Godhead. Yeah. So we can see it's interesting that there is these both dynamics. On the one hand, the qualification by consciousness and elevating our consciousness, lifting it up. In the first initiation, the focus is on what we do. No meat, fish, or eggs. No gambling. No more. No intoxication. Not even pan or no bidi, nothing. No. Even at holy time,
not that drink, not nothing. Yes, we are not taking anything. No intoxication, no chai garam, no. It's out, all out. Or coffee in the morning, or while you're driving. Recently I saw someone who had a yantra in the car, a coffee yantra. And it's like, it's supposed to give the same effect as coffee. Because it's yantra on the dashboard. They go, what's that? You know, a coffee yantra. And you look at the yantra, you get the same result as coffee. Anyway, what people are not getting into, a coffee yantra. And what people don't think of for making money, a coffee yantra. It's amazing. And someone pays. Probably called it the cheaters and the cheated. Anyway, so people want to be cheated. 1 minute, Mark, I'll give you some time to develop a lecture. So in this way, we can actually appreciate the power of devotional service and the power of chanting Hare Krishna, and that this is very important. This relates to the Asabandha principle, which is there in the mentioned in by Srila Rupa Goswami. Hope against hope, that is that point. Hope against hope, even although we're falling short in so many areas, still hope against hope that somehow or other the power of devotional service may attract that mercy. Now that doesn't in any way diminish the yam yam vapi smaram bhavam verse which Krishna gave us, right? So I'm not going to say, oh, consciousness is not important. No, that's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying it's not the only factor. We are working on our consciousness, and we are meant to be Krishna conscious, and we are meant to make an effort. And currently, that effort is an effort in practice, sadhana bhakti. So we're meant to invest in sadhana, and particularly in hearing and chanting. We have to hear transcendental sound. Sapta pare chanisna tam brahmani upasama svayam. It is like bathing, Srila Prabhupada says. We have to, snatam comes from snan, taking bath. Right? Taking bath in sound every day. Bathe the consciousness, otherwise the consciousness gets pretty dusty. Srila Prabhupada also speaks about cheto darpanam marjanam vavamahanda bhakti nirvapana, and which is the success to come. And then cheto, it can either mean the heart or the consciousness. So cheto darpanam, the mirror of consciousness. And then Srila Prabhupada is saying that mirror becomes covered by dust. And he says, and that dust, that is, there is a lot of dust. Because of all the materialistic activities. Because there's so many materialistic activities, we're living in a dusty place. So much dust everywhere. Dust everywhere. Like this, yes. So, in this way, one has to, it says, tivrena bhakti yogeta, yogena pari, tivrena, that like, with great force, tivra bhakti. Tivra means undiluted. So undiluted bhakti. So with great effort. So that effort is there, absolutely. But in the end, in this age of Kali, who can actually be powerful in sadhana? Very difficult. so difficult. Chanting 16 hours, so Prabhupada already brought it down to 64 and still, my goodness, 16. Oh, chanting. I don't like chanting. I like kirtan. But japa. It's a common thing. We often hear that. Yes, I then usually give the example that kirtan is like a warm shower, right? And japa is like a cold one. Warm shower, you know, okay, nice, yeah, it's a cold shower, it's like, okay, fly out. But after that, you feel really like, good energy. In Germany, they like cold shower. It's a German thing. Nice. Yes, so it's refreshing. It gives good energy. So that's it. It's not. Someone said, "I don't like chanting. I don't like chanting." I said, "Well, you know, it's okay. That's all right. You don't have to. You don't have to like it. It's fine. It's fine." It's no need. Just do it. Just do it. Because you attract the mercy. It's not about, you know, about having a good time. Hey, you know, guess what I'm gonna do? You know, what is it? I'm gonna chant japa. Wow, can I join you? not so easy like that. No, in most cases, it's like, okay, well, I guess this has to be done. What to do? But it's so hard for us, the long term, to really embrace the long term. Shreyas, prayas. So, this immediate benefit, prayas. I only do what gives me benefit now. And I would have to do something that gives benefit later. Oh, I can't do this. And that's our struggle. That's the difficulty. So therefore we have to practice abhyasa yoga yuktena to engage in this shreyas. That's why like activities like Janmashtami, like an ekadasi, it's all shreyas. It's all like making a sacrifice now, fasting. Till midnight. And the funny thing is, you're in the kitchen all day. My first big fast in the Hare Krishna movement, I couldn't believe it. I said, what's going on here? These people are fasting and they're cooking the whole day. What's happening here? When you fast and you don't see any food, it's a lot easier than when you're the whole day busy with food. And I couldn't grasp it at first. And it was complicated. So somehow or other, we are practicing, building up our strengths, and for that, at regular intervals, the ekadasi, fasting from grains, so difficult, so weak, no grains, so hungry, no grains, meanwhile eating like mountains of potatoes and peanuts and so many other things. But so hungry. So anyway, but all of these things are simply there to gradually build up our strength so that we can focus more on the long-term benefit. Anyway, I spoke about hearing and chanting, and that we have to make, we need a lot more. 16 rounds is not so much, actually. And all right, then some hearing. Sometimes it helps if we first read a little bit, because it lifts up our consciousness, because in the morning, mode of ignorance is thick, coming out of the night full of sleep, sort of like crank up the old machine. Ah, gosh, it's morning. There are still remnants of tamagun even after we wake up. So it takes some time to start up. So a little hearing, that's why I recommend that we begin the day with hearing. I do it as soon as I wake up. I turn on a lecture on my phone, and then my phone goes wherever I go until I'm ready to come down from my room. And that way, I get some hearing in, actually, in the beginning, and it's potent. While I'm showering, it's loud. I can hear it. I'm hearing. Brushing your teeth, I'm hearing. And that sort of helps. The biggest problem is we are not hearing. We're not reading. We're not connecting to these books. How much? A little bit. And as a result, we stay in mundane consciousness and practice our chanting in mundane consciousness. The reading is an essential element. It's not just, well, you know, I read when I can, but what can I do? I'm very busy. No. The reading is crucial. It is crucial. It's a crucial component of our practice. Without it, it will immediately bring things to a great level of austerity. Immediately, we start to experience our spiritual practices as a burden. If there's no hearing, it's a burden. Then chanting becomes a burden. Simple as that. And even kirtan, we become restless after a short while. We can't do it very long. Like, how long is this kirtan going to go on for? Oh God, he's chanting forever. What do you mean? You just started. It's been only 2 hours. It's just getting good. The first hour you still have to sort of make a conscious effort. At one point, the kirtan just takes over. And at one point, the kirtan just takes us along. So, yes, we have to really become more absorbed in hearing and chanting. That's the thing. That's what it means. As time goes on in spiritual life, as we are, as the years go on, yes, we do so much service, but it also should translate into hearing and chanting. Yeah. Not just do so many things, no, we should all together do our service and increase our hearing and chanting. And this is the essence. Then our remembrance will be strong. And then we'll be on the transcendental plane. That's it. Okay, your turn now. He's all the time. His finger is going up.
I just wanted to summarize what you're saying. A, B, C, D. A means association of devotees. B means reading Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita and Prabhupada books. C means hearing and chanting. And D means deity worship. And what you said, if you can stay in Dham, then we still invigorate our consciousness. The associated body is the most important.
You did good up to D, and then the EU got stuck. Because there are five.
Eating prasadam.
Yeah, but that's not one of the five. That's good. You're getting creative now. But there are five principal factors, right, in bhakti. The panch anga bhakti, the five principal rooms in bhakti. So you've got four in your ABCD. Congratulations. And now you've got to figure out you got to figure out how to turn the E into the holy Dhamma. Now you can think about that. And when you've got it, tell me. Because then it would be brilliant. It's good. Now ABCD is good. But if you get E as well, the five principal limbs of bhakti, then it would be really, really good. Thank you. Yeah, because there are five. No. Again, if all these five, if performed even a little, they'll quickly produce the love of God. But that's not all there's to it. Also, these five are our principal nourishment. And without these five, we're going to become a little dry. So if you never go to the holy Dhamma, gets a little dry. When was the last time you went to the holy Dhamma? When? That's a big question. And where are you going? That's the next question. Yes.
Wants
to ask the question. Good. Oh yeah, you're in the far corner and you get pain in my neck.
Yeah. Before entering the holy Dhamma.
Before entering the holy Dhamma.
No, before entering the holy Dhamma.
Oh. She solved the puzzle. And she's good at puzzles. Congratulations. That's very good. I would have never thought of that. Not him. In millions of light years, even. Brilliant. Okay. Well done. Eve entering the holy. Okay, so now you can put it all over the internet. Who else? Anyway, so my point then is that these five limbs of bhakti can very quickly give us love of God. But before they already give us love of God, they give us taste. It's there where we got to get also love of God in the earlier stages. Right? I mean, love of God comes in the seed stage. In the beginning, it comes in the seed stage, and then it sprouts, right, and eventually develops in a creeper, and then it gives the final fruits. Right? So in this way, in the seed stage already, these things are the key to our spiritual life. Hearing chanting every day, and associating with the devotees, and who are the other ones?
Reading the books.
Bhagavatam in particular. That is the book. And?
Deity worship.
Deity worship. He knows him well. Can't catch him. And hold it down. Okay.
Yeah, one question. One more. So, if you're...
If you can speak a little louder.
So you were saying the combination of the third one, combination of the mercy and uplifting the consciousness. So what it exactly means that receiving the mercy from devotional service, can you explain on that?
Mm-hmm. What does it mean to receive mercy of devotional service? Mercy means that we are increasing our relationship with Krishna. That is mercy. By some means or other. So whenever we are increasing our relationship with Krishna, mercy, that is mercy. So sometimes that mercy comes to a Vaishnava, sometimes it comes after hard work, But ultimately, that's it. And when we're cut off from Krishna, and then we feel cut off from mercy. As simple as that. It's just mercy means to increase our relationship with Krishna. Either with Krishna or indirectly through Krishna's paraphernalia. Of course, that also can be like hearing directly about Krishna, chanting directly Krishna's name, or looking after Krishna's paraphernalia. But the direct element always has to be there. Otherwise, looking after Krishna's paraphernalia can become very easily mundane. And that is, we are living in the modern world, and in the modern world we deal with so many paraphernalia. So, therefore, Jiva Goswami says, all service must be preceded and followed by the chanting of the holy name. And if we chant, then we are directly associating with Krishna immediately. Whereas if you use a phone in the service of Krishna, then it's an indirect thing. You're dealing with this phone, and you have to get in your mind into the phone and how a phone works, and so on. And it's like, in a way, a compartment of your brain is just phone. The ultimate benefit is Krishna. So if you have here like phone, there you have car, another portion of the brain. You have money, other portion. The whole, every compartment is filled with things, right? But all for Krishna. So you get the benefits for Krishna. But every once in a while, we just have to like empty out all the compartments of our brain and just put Krishna. Only Krishna. And just like forget everything. Forget. And that's what japa is supposed to be. During japa, ideally we're supposed to forget everything and just absorb in the holy name. Empty out the whole consciousness and in every cell, Krishna, 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 Krishna. Only that.
Maharaj, we talk about two aspects. One is tolerating the situation, and second is doing something about the situation. So the question is, we have all these situations like cow protection is not going on. We have the problem of plastic everywhere. We have the problem of global warming. So what do you suggest out of these two issues, two strategies, which one should we adopt?
Yes, Srila Prabhupada is explaining that we're living in a state of emergency. And the emergency may you just mentioned some symptoms, and the root cause of that, of course, is gross materialism and sense gratification in the center instead of Krishna in the center. So somehow or other we have to put Krishna in the center, and then gradually all these other things will all these symptoms will be alleviated. So obviously, we have to do something. But then, we also need to take time on the other side. We also need to take time where we are not trying to do so many things with the material energy, and where we're just absorbing ourselves in service. So how to do it? For service to Krishna, we accept the material energy, deal with the material energy, try to adjust the material energy. For our own private life, we minimize all that. For our own private life, we keep it simple. For our own private life,
We don't try to get so entangled in so many arrangements. In our own private life, keep life simple and just put the main emphasis on hearing and chanting. So may we have a strong private life of hearing and chanting, and then a public life of dealing with the material energy for Krishna. Great. So that means in our own private life, we have to tolerate things. Just tolerate things, rather than making endless arrangements. But not tolerating to a point that it begins to damage our body or mind. Then it is tolerance in the mode of ignorance. But we tolerate what we can in a reasonable manner. And so that we don't waste all our private time with making adjustments and adjustments and adjustments and more adjustments. And this is not quite right, needs to be adjusted. And that needs to be adjusted. And then in the end, oh my God, I have no time to chant Hare Krishna. I cannot find any time in the day to chant Hare Krishna. Alright, if we cannot find any time in the day to chant Hare Krishna, then empty out the day. Scrap activities. Just look at it. Look at all your activities. Take things out. Cross, 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 cross. That's necessary, unless we carve out space for Krishna, it's not going to happen. And that means unless we kick out, we take our energy back from things, we stop being busy with some things. Maybe if you really can't chant 16 rounds, cancel your Facebook account. But it would help. I'm going to try it. Facebook fast. Once a week, full Facebook fast. Yeah. Phone fast. You know, digital detox, all that stuff. You just put a sticker on your phone. Do not touch. Like right now, I don't have my phone in my pocket. But what if something happens? What if something happens and I would have to make an emergency call? We lived so happily without phones once upon a time, isn't it? Those with grey hair can remember. Once upon a time, there were no phones. Life was okay. I didn't think it was a big deal. It was alright. You could even surprise people. You can just go to their house without any prior announcement. You can't imagine. You just rock up, you know? Surprise! Wow! How nice. Then you could see if they how they really felt, you know. If they go, oh, that's what. Then you knew the truth.